Radio Gorgeous presents Gorgeous Lives.
Then I met Lee, who's my husband.
I know, and that sounds
we've been together now 29 years.
Well, that I was going to say, because your first marriage was a bit tragic, wasn't it?
It was, yeah. It was, you know, I don't talk in depth about it because it's not fair to my daughter, but he was a lovely man who had a terrible alcohol problem. And it killed him.
Yeah.
And that's always tragic for everyone around him mainly. But for us, it was hard living with it. And for his daughter, it was, you know, horrible to have to lose a parent so young.
Yes, yes.
But it's always a tragedy. You read something in the paper and somebody has died from alcohol or drugs. I always think, you know, it's so hard on the family.
Yes, such a waste.
See, it made me angry in the end because it's such a waste. Mm. But it is an illness, so, you know, one can't be too judgmental. Yeah. But anyway, we were lucky enough to meet my gorgeous Lee.
You came back and through Robert Powell, and who's married to Babs, who used to be in Pan's People, I'm very impressed with.
Yes.
You met Lee, but had you filmed with him yet?
No, we'd met. We'd gone to, I was with my husband, he was with his first partner, a mother of his son. We'd all gone to a John Denver concert, and afterwards, you know, when they have a party afterwards, we ended up sitting at the same table.
And did you notice him? I mean,
oh, you couldn't help. Yeah. He
said he's devastatingly good looking.
He was gorgeous.
In fact, your first husband was gorgeous as well.
Sorry,
you picked very, very good looking men.
I like nice looking men. But I just thought they were a lovely couple. And she was pregnant with my stepson now. But I always say that to Jason, my stepson. I always say, I knew you when you were in your mum's tummy.
That is quite a weird thing.
Isn't that hysterical? Yeah. That was 10 years before we met.
Wow.
So we met that night and all got on. We actually all swapped phone numbers. And then 10 years went by and Lee had split up with her and was living on his own in London around the corner. I was widowed and I had my daughter who's 5. We met through Robert and Babs, who I'd done Pygmalion with. He was my Higgins. I did
now,
it on
Pygmalion,
TV.
Pygmalion, I'd love to. Is there any chance, you know, you can see that or not?
I've got copies of it, but it was made by Yorkshire, which doesn't exist anymore. And it took us years to track it down because what had happened, you know, when all the TV companies designed, you know, there was Meridian and Anglia and Yorkshire, and there were all these different TV companies. Mm. And when they all got amalgamated into ITV, a lot of those office, you know, it was just shelves and shelves and shelves of product. It took us about 5 years to track down a proper copy of it. So I did manage to do that eventually.
So you were playing Eliza Doolittle and you really
Eliza.
Had to do the rain in Spain.
I apparently was the first one who'd done it the proper way round because usually it was posh actresses who had to learn.
Yeah.
But I'm very proud of that actually.
Yeah.
It's a good one.
And
Bob
really
was, Robert Powell was my Higgins. So he invited Lee to dinner when I came back. It was about 8 people at the table, and he by then was, you know, single. He'd been on his own for 2 years, so we were lucky because I was in my 30s, he was in his early 40s, and it's quite unusual that you're both single at that age.
Yes, and attractive.
Well, I think he'd had dates like I'd had dates, but neither of us weird.
Not the one. But also you were both once bitten twice shy, weren't you?
So
you
we were both, and also we both had children, and I think when you've got kids you're much more careful, or you should be. Because it's not only you, it's your child. We just dated very gently. I mean, the first date, we went out, it was a Sunday. He had Jason, who we call Ace, that's his family nickname. And I had Carly. And we all went on a boat down the river. So the kids could meet and, you know, and they all got... Ace is 2 years older than Carly. So we were lucky.
Radio Gorgeous. Online, on your phone, on a podcast, or on your tablet. Listen anywhere, anytime. Gorgeous lives, living gorgeously.
Hi, this is Twiggy on Radio Gorgeous.
And you fell desperately in love.
Yes,
and
we
fell desperately in love with you.
We did.
And it was a theatrical. I mean, you know, your life then was totally theatrical.
Yeah, it was. He's a wonderful actor and I got very involved in his work and theatre and you know, and he'd done so many great films like Tess and
he'd been to Rada Darling.
Rada Darling. Well, he has got one of the most beautiful voices in the world, I think. I love his voice.
So you changed your name to Twiggy Lawson?
Well, I got married.
Yeah.
I was lucky enough to. He asked me to marry him.
Yeah.
So we got married in New York in 1988.
Wonderful, it was wonderful. Wonderful. But you never had another child?
No, it didn't happen.
No.
I think our kids were quite glad.
Yeah, I think it actually works like quite well not having another one.
We would have liked it, but if it had happened, it would have been lovely. But, you know, you can't be greedy. I've got the most gorgeous daughter and he's got the most gorgeous son, so we're very blessed.
Yeah.
And they get on.
Tell me about your career then, carrying on then. So you were in with the theatrical people, you were still making films. Oh, yeah, and your recording career as well.
I kind of dabbled in a bit of everything, really, which is, I think, it what keeps it nice for me, because it never gets boring, you know.
Never.
And yes, you know, people say, well, aren't there things you'd like to do? You know, there are other things. I'd love to do more acting work. I'd love to do more singing work. But, you know, I've been incredibly lucky. And if you talk to lots of, especially actresses, you know, it does get harder as you get older.
Post-40.
So I feel very blessed and lucky that I've been given the opportunities I've had. There are projects that we're working on and I will be doing more things, but it's finding the right. I think when you get older you get a bit pickier. Yeah. And then with the whole M&S thing happening, which was wonderful, and that came out of left field, the actual modelling started again by a wonderful photographer called Stephen Mizell.
Oh, heard of him.
Who's very, very famous New York, brilliant photographer. And he contacted me in the mid-90s when I was late 40s and said he wanted to do a spread with me for Italian Vogue. A 10-page spread.
What a shock.
And I couldn't say no, because he's such a brilliant photographer. And Italian Vogue is my favourite Vogue. It's beautiful. So I flew to New York. They flew me to New York and I did that. So, you know, once you do one, it kind of kicked, you know, it became quite a big story that I was back doing photographs. But I never gave up, you know, the acting and the singing. And I always think if I've been lucky enough to be asked to do something, I should give it a shot. And some things I like better than others.
Yes,
but, you know, when Tyra came through and begged me to do America's Next Top Model, I just thought, you know, it'd be so much fun. And
did you have to go to... Sorry, I don't know much about that.
That was the downside, really, because I had to be... Not that LA is boring, but all my family's here. Yeah, and it was twice a year for 8 weeks each time.
It's
that's
a long time,
4 months a year away. Mm. And I was very well looked after, and Tyra's a dream, and it was lovely, but it was so much being away from home, so much travelling, because what happens in Top Model, the last 2 weeks of when they get down to six girls, they fly everyone off to an exotic location. So I, you know, I'd be in LA, and then we'd find out that, well, I got Bangkok, I got Shanghai, I got Sydney, which sounds very glamorous,
but
you're always on a flight. And I mean, Shanghai was amazing because we got to... Lee flew out, actually, because we'd always wanted to go to the Great Wall.
Yes, yes, it's online.
And we had an amazing trip. Yeah. I did 3.5 years of it.
Good.
And then I had to bow out because I was just... The travelling was just...
No.
I was never at home.
Yeah. And so that was reality TV, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, I was judged, like, you know, Strictly or... But it was models.
Great fun. So when did the M&S thing happen? Because that was massive.
This time round, it happened, 7 years we started doing the ads.
Mm-hmm.
And again, that came out of left field because it always makes me laugh now. Yeah. But we've got a house in Suffolk.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm up there, I don't wear makeup. Yeah. You know, I wear my old jeans. You know, I look an absolute mess.
Yeah.
We'd gone for a Sunday morning walk along the beach in Southwold, which is about 20 miles from where we live.
Yeah.
And it was a cold day and I had a woolly hat, my hair in pigtails, no makeup, an old one of Lee's old puffer anoraks, my Wellington boots. I looked lovely. And we went into this great pub for lunch in Southwold. And unbeknownst to me, in the other corner was the head marketing guy from M&S with his wife. And she noticed me, apparently. I heard this afterwards. And said, oh, look, Twiggs has just come in with Lee. And Steve said it was that moment. He said, I looked across at you and thought, oh, God, she's perfect for the M&S campaign. I mean...
God, that gives you confidence.
It does. Well, it always makes me laugh because with
your worst.
Actresses and models, you always ponder over what you're going to wear. Should you wear makeup? Should you not wear makeup? Should you, you know, dress up? Should you dress down? Should you dress in character? Here I was looking
your absolute worst.
That happened to me once before. I did a TV drama years ago in the, oh gosh, it must be the early 90s, late 80s. And I got that part because the writer, Angela Huth, who's a wonderful writer, She was giving the prizes at a school prize day, and I was there because my daughter went to that school, and I was sitting in the front row. Again, when I went to school things, and I used to tie my hair back and not wear lots of, a bit of mascara, because, you know, I felt I was mum. I didn't want to. Yeah. And Angela Huth gave the prizes, and she saw me there, and she'd just written this play for TV from one of her books. And she said, I looked across and thought, oh, my God, that's, I can't remember the character's name. That's my leading girl.
It's brilliant.
So and I got offered the part.
Yeah. So your life seems like it's kind of randomly lucky.
I think it is,
yeah.
I like to think there's a bit of talent to back it up, because I don't think I'd still be sitting here 50 years later. But I do think luck, and I think the other thing that is major is that certain very important people come into your life who can change it, which is for me like Ken Russell, like Tommy Tune. They're in that powerful position that they can offer you that part, like Diana Vreeland, like Deirdre McSherry.
Yeah.
They had the power, Deirdre had the power to write a double page spread about what she thought about this new girl. Diana Vreeland was the biggest, most powerful woman in fashion. She had the power to say, this is the new look, I want her, and made me an overnight sensation in America. Because I'm very lucky. I've got careers in two, you know, in England and America. That's quite hard to make happen. I don't think I could have made it happen on my own. So I'm very, very lucky that Diana Vreeland did that, because she made me global.
Oh, what a nice thing to say on a Tuesday.
My weekday fix. Darling, it has to be Radio Gorgeous.
A love struck Romeo, sing the streets a serenade, laying everybody low with a love song that he made. Find the streetlight, steps out of the shade, says something like, you and me, babe, how about it?
Hi, this is Twiggy on Radio Gorgeous.
Your daughter, Carly, got married this year.
Last year. They're just coming up to their first anniversary.
So who's she married?
A really nice chap called Ben, and he's lovely, and they're very much in love. That's all you want for your kids.
Yeah. And what does Carly do?
Carly is print designer at Stella McCartney.
Oh, wow.
So she's very tough. She's an artist, really. She trained to be an animator. That's what she was passionate about.
Yeah.
And then by the time she left uni and got her degree, the 2D animation, which is what she, you know, which is hand-drawn.
Yeah, like original cartoons. Yeah,
but it's all hand-drawn. Mm. It really started to wind down. Everything was computerised. So she stuck with it for about 4 years. And she can do computer animation, but it just is, you know, it's a whole different mindset, I think. And she wanted to do something much more hand-drawn.
What a fantastic job, because you're friends of the McCartneys.
Yeah, well, that's how it happened, because Carly and Stella have, I mean, Stella's a little bit older than Carly, but they've kind of grown up together. So we'd gone over to meet one of Stella's new babies. Can't remember which. She's got four.
What?
Can't remember which one it is.
Good God.
But we'd gone to tea to meet the bubby. And Stella was saying to Carly, you know, they were talking about jobs and work, and Carly had already kind of said to me, you know, maybe I should do fashion. I don't know. And I said, well, maybe go off and do a course, you know, and see if you like it. And so Carly was talking to her about that. And Stella said, look, you can go off and do a course. But she said, why don't you come and work with me for 3 months? You'll either love it or hate it. Which was a lovely opportunity, bless her.
She's still there.
That was 7 years ago.
Wow. I want to ask you, this is radio. And in your biography, which obviously I've read, you said in the 50s, before you had a telly, you had a radio and you'd all sit around it.
Yeah, I can remember that, sitting around in my pyjamas on my dad's lap, listening to radio. And I remember the big one, because we were one of the only ones in the street that had a radio, was Quatermass, which was really frightening. It's a science fiction about spacemen. Yeah. I can remember being really scared, going to bed after that.
So it's like the Doctor Who of radio.
Yeah. It was Quatermass and the Pit.
I can't remember it. What I want to ask is, do you still listen to radio now?
Oh, yeah. Radio 4 is my favourite. I love it. It's on all our radios around the house.
So
Radio 4 and Radio 2.
Yeah. What do you like on Radio 2?
Well, some of the programmes. One of my favourites is Elaine Page on her, I think it's Saturday, isn't
Sunday,
it?
Sunday. Oh, Sunday. Lunch. Yeah, because I'm lad on it.
And she does all the theatrical thing. Yeah, and I love Elaine. She makes me. I went on it once. We got hysterical. She started to interview me and we started laughing about something. I can't remember now. And the producer said, you two.
Get a grip.
Get a grip. But she's brilliant. And it's a great show.
Yeah.
And Michael Ball does a great... There's some great...
Yeah.
Steve Wright, I love. Jeremy Vine, I think, does good shows.
Yeah.
But Radio 4, I also love.
Yeah.
I even love The Archers.
Yes. I love it because you don't have to listen to it very often and you tune in.
No, you
in.
Can... Yeah, well, because we're away a lot. We go to America a lot. So often I don't hear it for 2 or 3 months and I come back and you can usually catch up. And I love the afternoon play.
Yeah.
There's something old-fashioned and comforting about Radio 4.
Yeah.
I love
so
it. And
you get
news.
So would you listen to it in LA? Would you kind of tune
No,
in?
I don't know how to do that.
Oh, I see.
I'm not very technical. I don't know whether you can get Radio 4 in LA.
I'll have to teach you.
What, even out there?
Yes. What's most amazing about you is that you were totally untrained and yet you've succeeded in the competitive world of theatre, film, music and modelling. I mean, it is... the most incredible thing about your career, isn't
well,
it?
Well, I think going back to luck, I've been lucky that I had somebody like Ken who guided me through the boyfriend. And some people are better when they are untrained. I mean, I think drama schools are brilliant and I think it helps a lot of people. But I think some people, I've got a few friends who never went to drama school who just fell into it another way. And they're wonderful. And Tommy was the other one that I owe so much to because he got me, you know, to go out and do the Broadway show, which I, again, always told him I'd never do. I'd never go on a big stage. I'd be too frightened.
And was that a lot of hoofing around then?
Oh, yeah. It was a big musical.
This is Radio Gorgeous, and this is A Gorgeous Life.
You've met Fred Astaire
and
Ginger Rogers.
I did. Well, Ginger Rogers came to the show, which was really exciting. I mean, because when you're in a big show like that, you always know. We had so many famous people come to see it because it was a big hit.
Larry came.
Oh, yeah. He came to first night.
Wow.
I've actually, in my toilet, sorry, ladies, but in my toilet, I've got the letter he sent to me after seeing the show. We've got it framed.
Fabulous.
So when you have a pee in my toilet, you can read a letter from Laurence Olivier.
Oh, my God. Well, also the great timing of your life is you met those greats, you know.
I know. Aren't I lucky?
Yeah, really.
And
lucky.
Fred was my hero.
Wow.
And I met him and had...
What, is he just the most charming man
He
on
was,
earth?
Yeah, the most charming man you'd ever meet.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
Gentle. You have to pinch yourself. Yeah. I'm sitting with Fred Astaire.
Yeah, no, it's unbelievable.
Madness.
So, lastly, do you ever get a wave of, they may find me out and I'm just getting away with it?
That's hysterical. I don't know.
And you are truly confident.
I am now.
Yeah, now.
I've learned that over
45.
Well, nearly. It would be actually 2016. I'll have been in the business for 50 years.
Oh,
it's amazing. Makes me laugh.
Absolutely brilliant.
Because I don't feel much different inside. I mean, obviously outside you are different, but inside, you still feel the same, don't you?
Yeah. What about your family? Are they still around? I mean, your mum.
I've lost mum and dad, but mum lived till she was 91.
That's
bless
good.
Her.
That's a good sign.
Good sign. Dad didn't last quite as long, but I think me mother drove him to an early. No, I shouldn't say that. No, he was gorgeous. No, he was 82, so it wasn't
fabulous.
Too bad. Yeah.
And what about your sisters?
They're still with us, and they're fantastic. My eldest sister just had her 80th. She's amazing. She's like a 60-year-old. They do say that...
Her age is the new 60.
Yeah, that's right.
That is hysterical.
Well, they say 60 is the new 40, don't they?
Yeah, exactly.
But Shirley, she does. She runs around like a maniac. She's amazing.
I think that's it. You've been such a brilliant guest.
Thank you.
The best thing
thank
I like
you.
About you is you laugh.
Oh, thank you, yeah.
Terry
Wogan used to have it on a loop. Before I met Lee, he said he can remember it. Terry Wogan would put it on in the morning on a loop.
I think I might do that myself. Laugh. You go, ha, 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 and then you go, ha! Very good.
And now I'm very happy to still be here doing things.
Yeah, so I just want to ask about designing. So where do you have to go and stuff?
I've got my team here that I work with.
In
it's
London.
About six people, in London. In
well,
the M&S.
The head
yeah,
quarters.
We've got a nice design room there. Mm. And I don't go in every week, but we have our main meeting where we decide. So we'll sit down, we'll work out the colour palette, I do lots of drawings and get tears, and we all meet and we have a big... It's great. It's really good fun. I love it. And my team really know me now, and they know what I love and what I don't like. And also, we've learnt from the customer what they buy from me. Exactly. You know, it's not, I can't just make a clothing range that only I wear. Yeah. You have to make for everybody.
What is the best seller this spring?
My best sellers across the board, really, have been my suede and leather jackets. We did one this spring in cobalt blue suede. It's a biker that's so beautiful, and it sold out the first weekend. We could have ordered it 8 times over. So what we've done, we couldn't, it was too late to reorder. And we're bringing it back in the autumn in a jade green.
Fabulous.
It's slightly different, but it's a biker, but it's in jade. So I think that...
That'll suit you as well.
Beautiful. They're gorgeous.
And how much are they?
Our prices are. But, you know, because M&S are so big, they've got the volume. So they let me use really beautiful... That's the loveliest thing. I use really nice fabrics.
God, how nice.
And the suede and leather's gorgeous. You know, my woolen coats are lovely. And we do lovely faux furs that are fabulous. Well, I wouldn't do real fur anyway.
Yeah.
So we meet and then things go out to be sampled. And at my next big meeting, I go in and it's like a day of... I'd spend my life in me underwear. Because I want to try on everything. Because, you know, if I don't like it. And they always laugh at me because I've got a little screen in the room for modesty, and they always laugh because they say my head comes around first and they can tell if I like it or not if I come out and then we all burst out laughing, or they hear me hysterical laughing and they know that's a no. And then once we've done tweaks and, you know, think, well, this works, but it's got to be a bit this and it's got to be a look, then it'll go off. And then I go in and see, I do the final sign off before.
God, so it really is your... I mean, you didn't say it in a surprised way, but I bet some people...
I think in the past, celebrities do lend their name. But I thought if I'm going to do it, I'm going to do it properly.
And enjoy it.
I love it. I love it. I'm obsessed. Obsessed.
Well, at last, you've become...
Check it out online.
Yeah, you've come an absolute full circle because you've become the fashion designer.
I know, isn't that weird? Only took 50 years.
Exactly. So fabulous to meet you, Trigger.
Lovely to meet you. Thank you very much.
Gorgeous Lives was brought to you by Radio Gorgeous Productions. For more information, go to radiogorgeous.com.
Sing the streets a serenade, laying everybody low. With a love song that he made, find the streetlight, steps out of the shade, says something like, you and me, babe, how about it? Juliet says, hey, it's Romeo, he nearly gave me a heart attack. He's underneath the window, she's singing, Eli, my boyfriend's back. You shouldn't come around here singing up at people like that. What you gonna do about it? Juliet, the dice was loaded from the start, and I bet then you exploded into my heart, and I forget the movie song. When you gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong, Juliet? On different streets, they both were streets of shame, both dirty, both mean. Yes, and the dream was just the same. And I dreamed your dream for you, and now your dream is real. How can you look at me as if I was just another one of your deals? When you can fall for chains of silver, you can fall for chains of gold, you can fall for pretty strangers. And the promises they hold, you promised me everything, you promised me thick and thin, yeah. Now you just say, oh, Romeo, yeah. You know, I used to have a scene with him, Juliet. When we made love, you used to cry. You said, I love you like the stars above. I love you till I die. There's a place for us. You're not a movie song. When you're gonna realize it was just that the time was wrong. do the talks, like the talk on the TV. And I can do a love song like the way it's meant to be. I can't do everything, but I'll do anything for you. I can't do anything except be in love with you. And all I do is miss you, and the way we used to be. All I do is keep the beat, the bad company. And all I do is kiss you through the bars of a rhyme. Julie, I do the stars with you anytime. But Julie, when we made love, you used to cry. I said, I love you like the stars above. I love you till I die. And there's a place for us. You know the moon is on. When you're gonna realize it was just this. Sing the streets a serenade, laying everybody low with a love song that he made. Find a convenient street light, steps out of the shade and says something like, you and me, babe, how about it?
Radio Gorgeous, giving you a voice. Why not leave us a voice message? Over to you now.